In a car wreck in 1995. When she was 10 years old, she'd sing his song. She lived 17 one week, and the Lord took her home. And I didn't really value this song while she was singing it as much as I do now that I can't hold her in my arms. But this is a good song. She would sing that, and I just took it for granted that any time I wanted to, I could hear this song and her singing it. Little blonde-headed girl, wasn't big as a straw. And name this song is called "The Only Real Peace."
Yeah, boy.
And I've had it in there as long as all curled up. I think I can remember it anyway. But y'all pray for me. Life is a few days of trouble, a wise man once said. But I'm not complaining, for I'm sheltered, I'm clothed, and I'm fed. But many the trials, my wants and my dreams put me through. And the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is you. With all life's frustrations, I need you, and I know I do. Cause the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is you. The higher I've soared in my dreams, the harder I fall. And sometimes I wonder if dreams are worth dreaming at all. But my disappointments can't keep me blinded and blue. Not when I'm reminded the sweet peace I have, Lord, in you.
Amen.
The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is you.
Thank you.
The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is you. With all my frustrations, I need you, and I know I do. Cause the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is you.
Thank you.
I used to love hearing her sing that song.
Yeah.
I didn't have enough sense to know that I wouldn't always have that opportunity to hear that little girl.
Mm-hmm.
She'd stand on her tiptoes. Boy, she'd done a good job. Thank y'all. Bear with me on that.
Thank you.
Go ahead, there, preacher.
I want to thank the Lord I'm able to be here.
Amen.
Around what I call my people.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Y'all pray for my brother-in-law. I just talked to him, and he's got inherited liver disease. He's in very bad shape.
Mm.
He's having some knots come up on his body. To be honest, if God don't intervene, I don't know that he's going to live and get a liver transplant.
Bless you.
That's Lily Lake and Ed Rivers' granddaddy.
Yeah, been praying for that.
Good be in the house of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
A beautiful day Lord's give us. Thank the Lord for his mercy.
Amen, Brother Mark.
You know, years ago when I was when I was working electronics, back when things were more simplified than they are now.
Amen to that.
Back when they tubes, you know, when I started, I was working on tubes, technology, and TVs used to have a reset button.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times you could push the reset button, something go wrong with it. They don't have that stuff on the new technology today, but, you know, sometimes if you're stuck, something, TV or computer or something locks up, you can unplug it.
Yeah,
leave it unplugged for 2 or 3 minutes and plug it back in, and it reset it. Well, I think somebody needs to unplug America.
Amen.
I think it needs to be reset.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, think about what's going on in this country. Oh, my goodness.
Bless you, preacher.
Tomorrow is our birthday as a free nation.
Yes.
1776. And, you know, how many years did you say it was, Brother Eddie?
46.
And so, you know, that is not a long time, but it is a long time.
Yeah.
And in some sense of the ways that we've come a long way, the wrong way in a short time.
Well, that's the truth.
But I'm still proud to be an American.
Amen.
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 You know, I think Lee Greenwood had it right, and I'm glad. I'm just proud to be an American.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I think that as we get back to thinking about what's going on in this country so much, like I said, I just think a lot of things could be settled if we just get back to some simplicity.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know we live in a day of technology, and you know the Bible talked about in the latter days knowledge will be increased.
Yes.
And there's people are ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of truth.
Right.
You know, we didn't, of course, both of my sisters are here tonight. Good to be in church with them.
Amen.
Amen.
I just tell everybody my daddy and mama raised 3 children, 2 girls and 1 good kid. So, they might argue with that, but it's still the truth. And I am the youngest of the bunch, but it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Well, turn your Bible tonight, the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles.
Amen.
You know, like I said, I think a lot of things, the Bible teaches us in Corinthians that a lot of things that happened in the Old Testament happened for our example.
Right.
Or for our learning.
Right.
To help us learn not to make the mistakes they made, but also to help us learn to do the things they did that pleasing to God.
That's right.
Israel did not always do things that were pleasing to God, but they did not always do things that were not pleasing to God.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to weigh out the goods and bads of what they are. And regardless of what people think about them, they are God's people.
Right. Amen.
Right.
And God has promised to put His protection on them.
Yeah.
And I believe He's still doing that today.
Yes.
They are His chosen people.
Amen.
And we should, you know, we need to thank God for Israel.
Right.
Because they are the apple of His eye.
Sure enough. Amen. Amen. Right.
And, you know, God operates around Israel.
That's right.
You want to know what's going on in America? Don't look at what time it is. See what's going on with Israel.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And God's coming back.
Yes, He is.
And like I said, I think a lot of problems in this country today, we could do a whole lot better on if we would get back to some of the things they were doing when they were living in those Old Testament times when they were still under law, before grace ever entered in. The law, the Bible said in the book of Galatians, was our schoolmaster.
Yeah.
It taught us some things.
Yeah.
Now, it can never save us. Just like the things that we would do under the law, the sacrifices they were made and the things they did would never make them perfect.
Right.
But those things that they would offer, sacrifices, God accept them, they would be atoned for a year.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that when Jesus went to the cross and went to Calvary and He rent that veil from the top to the bottom, then the things of the law was done away with. Now, nothing's still wrong with the law in some cases.
Right.
You know, we need the law.
Yes.
Teach us what.
Law.
Do this, don't do that.
Yeah.
But I'm not under the works of the law. No. I don't have to work to be saved. Now, Brother Tim Rutherford, most of y'all remember Brother Tim, preached here three or four times. Of course, he passed away, three or four years ago, I guess. He preached in Florida a lot. He said people always down there called him the works preacher. They accused him of preaching salvation by works. And he said, I always tell him, said, I'm not saved by my works, but I got a salvation that works.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a good thought.
Yes,
amen.
Right.
So I believe that a person's got the genuine, real stuff, he'll have works to go along with.
Right.
It's not my works that save me, but it's the works that... See, I can't see Brother Eddie's heart. I can't see Eric's. I can't see nobody's.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see mine.
Right.
So how do you know I got what I say I do?
Right.
Regardless of what a lot of people think, everything that goes on in the church house ain't of God. There's a lot of things more not of God than they are of God.
Yeah.
But if we would heed what we're going to look at tonight, I believe it would make our churches better, make our homes better, certainly make our country better. Whenever you cast off moral restraints, you ain't got but one direction to go, and that's down.
Amen.
We've been going that way for a long time.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think our government's going to fix it.
No.
I think it's too late for that.
Yeah.
I think we've done gone so far. I don't care who we put in office. We could put Daffy Duck, be just as good as what we got.
Mail order.
We could put Bugs Bunny as Secretary of State, and Elmer Fudd, man, wouldn't he be a good one?
Yeah.
You know, or the Tasmanian Devil or something like that. You know, but I don't think our government's going to fix what's wrong with this country.
Hey, man.
What's going to fix this country is what they've got away from to begin with, and that's the Lord.
Amen.
Whenever we get away from God, we're in bad shape. We're in bad shape, this nation. We're in bad shape on this planet. But, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I'm telling you, I believe Jesus is coming. I expect him any time. I'm like an old preacher said one time, I've quit looking for the signs. I'm just listening for the sound. And I think I hear silver. Could be today.
Amen.
But if we would heed what took place, what we're going to look at tonight, that I believe it would help our country.
Sure would.
Certainly help us as individuals and as Christian people. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And let's read the first three verses there together. Now, this is one of my favorite Old Testament passages of Scripture. I'm not belittling any other of the Scripture, but there's just some Scripture that you can really draw, you can just glean good things out of. And I've read this so many times, and I looked at it, and boy, it's just one of my favorite thoughts to think about. Now, the Bible said, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praise the Lord, saying, for He is good. Boy, He is good.
Amen.
For His mercy endureth forever. Father, I thank You for the day, and I thank You for the privilege of being able to stand tonight and ask You, Lord, to help me to write and divide the word of truth. And Father, I pray You'd fill my mind and my mouth tonight and say those things that would be a help to us tonight. And Lord, again, we just love You and thank You for watching over us. And we pray for our homes and our families and the needs that have been mentioned today in the services this morning. God, we just lift those things up to You tonight. But Father, I ask You to bless the Word of God tonight. Bless Your people in these things, I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 I want to just think a little bit tonight about some things that they had in the Old Testament tabernacle that we need in the New Testament church. And I believe that just because these they were under the law, You know, we're not keeping animal sacrifices and certain things like that, but there's a lot of things still in the Old Testament that are just as good today as they were back then, mm-hmm. and this is some old thing. I think one of the things that they had that we need in our churches and in America today is praying.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. They pray.
Yeah.
I don't believe they just had one of them little whippersnapper things, right. You know. I believe they prayed and got the whole Lord. Now, I want you to let's go back over to the book of 1 Kings for just a second. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Now what takes place here is Elijah is facing all those prophets of Baal, and they've done all of their ungodly things, and their God didn't answer. And see, they had already come up with this saying that they were going to call out to their God, and the God that answered by fire was one going to be God.
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice what he said. Start right there in verse number 36. Now, I'm just going to pick a little bit of this here, and then I'm going to pick up on it again in a second. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Now, we're going to get our praying right. We've got to get to praying to the right one. We need to be praying.
Amen.
We don't need to be praying to man. We don't need to be praying to this person, that person.
Amen.
Now, we can bear one another's burdens, but when it comes time to pray, we need to be praying to the same one that Elijah cried out to, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when we get our praying right, other things are going to fall in order. Ain't it amazing that the first thing we should be doing in our lives is usually the last thing we think about?
Amen.
We do. I'm telling you because I know it's true, because we all do it.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, we get in trouble and we'll call this person and call this person. That's good. It's good to have people you can talk to.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need to get on the telephone line to heaven.
Amen.
Or get on the telephone line to somebody else.
Yeah,
right. And the first person we need to be talking to is the Lord.
Amen.
And most of the time, and it's a shame to us, it is a shame to us that He's most of the time our last option.
Yeah, it is.
You know, people used to pray.
Yeah.
I mean, they had what they used to call prayer warriors.
Yeah, boy.
I mean, they would pray. They would be, I think it was D.L. Moody that related a story one time that he was preaching a meeting somewhere, I don't remember what state that it was. And anyway, each night, boy, I mean, God just blessed in it. And I mean, souls were saved, people's lives were changed. And after the meeting was over, a couple of weeks had passed by, and he saw some of the people that were there. And Mr. Moody said, I tell you, that was one of the best meetings I've ever been in my life. Said, I said it was just real every night, that how God moved and how God worked and how God did things. And so when Mr. Moody said, there's a lot of things, something you probably didn't know, said every night when you got up in the pulpit to preach, right under you there was a room and there were people praying the whole time you were preaching.
Yeah,
he said, he realized it wasn't his preaching, but it was the praying that put his preaching to work.
Amen.
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 It ain't what we do, it's who we talk to.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I know y'all probably know, don't, you may have heard of him, I don't know if you have or not. Brother Ed Blue, he's gone on to be with the Lord now.
Yeah.
He was preaching one time down in Franklin, and we were there, and I heard him tell this story. He pastored a church down in Tennessee, down in there around Chattanooga area, and he got the church was growing pretty good.
Praise God.
And he was preaching revivals, and he was preaching here, and he was preaching there. And Brother Ed probably went through that preacher syndrome like a lot of preachers do. That he got to thinking he was something.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, he kind of got the little big head because God was doing such great things.
Yeah. Amen.
And he said, one night I was coming home from a meeting and I saw the light on in the church and I thought, well, somebody must have left the light on, they were cleaning or something. So I go in there and turn it off. And he said, I opened the door. He said, that was a young boy. He said, he was kind of handicapped. He was just a young man. And said, he was up on that altar crying and praying his heart out. Said, Lord, would you please bless my preacher? Lord, would you please bless my church? Lord, would you please give him power? Lord, would you please help this person, bro? He said, I went outside and hung my head in shame and realized it had nothing to do with me. But it was that little old boy up on that altar. There you are.
Yeah.
Well, you want to get a hold of God, talk to Him.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank you.
I had praying.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, boy, we need praying.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, I don't know how every one of us need praying.
Right. Amen. Right.
Yes, we do.
I don't know when this was. It's been a few years ago. I think it was in Illinois that this took place. I was Pastor Grace Baptist Church in Raleigh. We were going to have a revival. I think Brother Tim was going to be preaching. And this was maybe a week or two before the meeting was going to take place. So we got together and we were going to have a 24-hour prayer time. Now, we weren't going to be praying 24 hours, everybody, but everybody was going to take an hour shift.
Yes.
Right.
And we're going to pray 24 hours. And now let me tell you something. You may think you know how to pray, but when you set your heart to pray for an hour, you'll pray for stuff you ain't never prayed for in your life.
Exactly. Come on.
I believe I was praying for my neighbor's cat.
Yeah.
You know, you think, oh, it's easy to pray an hour. Well, you know, if we pray like we should pray, it probably is.
Right.
But when you don't pray like you should pray, man, I mean, I don't want to say it's a job.
No.
I don't want to say it's a grievous thing to do.
No.
But it lets you know how feeble our prayer life really is.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
But I believe in the Old Testament when those people prayed, I believe they had something real.
Amen.
Why? Because they had a real God they were praying to.
Amen.
Now, what took place here in 1 Kings was that they got their praying attitudes right. They were praying to the right person. They put their emphasis where it needed to be.
Yeah.
Elijah knew that all the junk they were doing, they hollered and hooped and cut themselves and done all of that ungodliness, and when it come time for the evening sacrifice, let me tell you what, if you want to get your praying right, you not only need to get your praying directed to the right person, but you need to get your
right time.
Service time right.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It said it took place. Now, I believe God can be talked to anytime.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Because it said, He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps.
That's right.
Right.
Vance Havner told this to be true. He was just an old country preacher out of North Carolina. And he said, ma'am, God called me to preach. I come out of them hills out of North Carolina. He said, I not only didn't know nothing, I didn't even suspect nothing. And anyway, God got to using him, preaching him all over the place. And he said, man, I was wore out. Said, I was staying in motels here and motels there. And he said, I tell you what, I learned one thing about living by faith. Said, a lot of Baptist churches believe in putting you to practice on it.
Amen.
They put you in a motel and they wouldn't see you again until the next night.
Right.
And he said, man, I wore out. Said, I was wore out. Said, I got to where I couldn't sleep.
Right.
And said, man, I'd gone to the doctor and he'd give me a bunch of pills to try to get me some rest, but I'd taken this and said I still couldn't sleep, and said one morning about 1:30 or 2 o'clock said I couldn't sleep, and I got up and opened my Bible and it fell open to the book of Psalms and it said, behold, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And he said, I realized, said, Lord, if you stand up, I'm going to bed. Amen. Said, I went to sleep and then we had another problem.
Amen.
Can talk to God anytime.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
But we need to make sure we get our attitudes right about prayer.
Right.
You know, so we need to at least have some time of day when we set aside some time.
Good.
Talk to the Lord.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes the best thing to do is not ask Him for nothing, but thank Him for something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You know, if we get to thanking Him more, maybe we'd be asking Him for more.
Right.
Would we not?
Yeah.
But I tell you something else they had because they had praying. They had fire.
Yeah, they did.
You know what? I believe our pulpits have cooled off.
Sure have. Yeah, man.
I believe our churches, I believe our preaching has cooled off.
Yes.
I believe that we've traded the mechanics of man and we traded the fire of God for things that please the man. And let me tell you what, I still believe today that if you get a God-called man preaching the Word of God to the people of God with the power of God, you can get the fire to come down from heaven if you get your praying right. Attitude about serving God, right?
Amen.
I still believe we need some fire in our churches.
Amen.
I believe Elijah knew. I believe he knew that all that junk they were doing wasn't going to get it.
Amen.
I believe he said, boys, you better get back if you don't want to get your ground burned off. Because God said you're going to send some fire.
Amen. Yeah. He's playing his
place. I read something this afternoon, and it just, I mean, it just. As much as I've read this, it just kind of, there it was. He said there, hear me, O Lord, in verse 37, that this people may know that thou art the Lord, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. Let me tell you what, when the fire of God falls, it's going to affect everything. Does it not?
Yes, that's
right. I mean, I still think today there ain't nothing better that I'd rather hear than somebody preaching with the fire of God.
Amen.
Why? Because it touches your heart.
Real.
I like singing. Man, we grew up around singing. That's all we knew, man. We grew up around music and singing. I like it.
Yeah.
But it ain't still nothing no better than getting a God-called man with the power of God on him and preaching the fire of God on him.
Amen.
I've said in my life, in my ministry, God's blessed me to be able to hear a lot of preachers. Been around a lot of preachers. Been around a lot of men of God, boy. And I mean, boy, just you just knew they were plugged in.
Yeah,
amen.
But there was one preacher, and he always was in my life. And I don't know why. It wasn't that. I don't know. Maybe just me. And I guess he's still living. I don't know. I hadn't heard much out of him lately. I got always getting up in his years, and he's still alive. His name, Brother Hanley Millie. He lived up. He lived up in around Buffalo, Kentucky, up around Hardin County. And Brother Milby was a strange man. And I don't mean like he was strange, crazy strange. But he would come into church, and so help me, I'm not lying to you. He'd come in and sit on the pew, and somebody talked to him, and he wouldn't even much more go, ooh.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, what's wrong with this guy? And he wasn't hardly much. He wasn't hard to say nothing. Mm-mm. But when he get in the pulpit,
boy,
he's
on fire.
Oh, it's something else.
Amen.
But Brother Milby was the only preacher I can ever remember being afraid of. I wasn't scared of him like he's gonna kill me or nothing. But I guess it was just the touch of God on him that I had a fear for him. And I heard him tell somebody, somebody asked him, why don't you say anything, preacher, before you go to preaching? People talk to you, you don't say nothing. He said, well, I got my feelers out. But I'm out feeling for the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
But he done.
Amen.
And I heard him preach one of the best messages ever heard in my life in a camp meeting down in Franklin, Kentucky on How's Life in Your Boat. Mm-hmm. Boy, I tell you what, it's something else.
Amen.
And when you hear people preach like that, we know they got something.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, going to college ain't going to make you a good preacher.
No.
That's right, Brother Mark.
No.
Going to school ain't going to make you a good preacher. I'm not against college and I'm not against learning and all those things. But what makes a good preacher is God.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, you know, when the Lord called me to preach, I thought to myself, are you just kidding? That's what I felt like. And I thought, Lord, are you serious?
What I said, brother.
I mean, I was shy when I was growing up. I still don't like to be in front of people, but the Lord just kind of helped me deal with it.
Amen, Brother Mark. Yeah.
But when the Lord called me to preach, I thought, I can't do that. There ain't no way, Lord, I can't.
Yeah.
You know, finally, the Lord just told me, said, I didn't ask you to do it.
That's right, yeah.
I did through you.
Yeah,
you
through.
Moses. Yeah, that's right.
And so I realized that it ain't what I wanted. It's what God wanted me to do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, Bonnie mentioned here a week or two ago that when I was young, two, three, 4 days old maybe, I got an infection. And they had to put a needle in my head. If you look real close, I got my great niece Holly asked me where I got that dent. I thought my friend Kay hit me. But they put a needle in my head and give me medicine, I guess. And of course, I don't remember. I was too young to remember. But I just gathered that I was so bad that they wasn't even sure I was going to live.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Even though I didn't know it,
God knew it.
Amen.
I believe goodness and mercy will follow.
Yeah,
amen.
Praise the Lord.
I remember I was about 13 years old or 14. We was at Green Hill Methodist Church one time, and we was having some kind of Saturday cookout or some kind of family thing was outside, and my grandmother Pauline Herb was still living, and there was two or three people around. Jean Bond, one was Johnson Bond Phelps. Jean was a big influence in my life and early life, my Christian life. And one of my cousins that was killed in a car wreck, Johnny Dow, remember him standing there. And I remember who my grandmother was talking to, but somebody come up to her. And I was standing right there by her, and she put her hand on my shoulder and said, "This is my grandson. He's going to be a preacher."
Hey, man.
And I never forget what come out of my mouth. I won't ever preach. Let me tell you what. Don't tell God you ain't never going to do nothing.
I'll never deny you.
Now, she didn't tell me I was called. She said he's going to be.
Hey, man.
And I remember when God called me to preach and I surrendered to that call. Boy, God took me back to that spot.
Hey, man.
Yes, he did.
And I believe she knew something I couldn't even say.
Amen, Brother Mark. Yeah.
Preachers used to have some fire in their bones.
Oh, yeah.
Makes it
messy. They used to make a difference in people.
Yeah.
They used to make a difference in churches.
Yeah,
I mean, they preach because God's call was in them and on them, and they preach because they love the people of God.
Yes.
Having said to love to preach is one thing, but to love the people you're preaching to is something else. That's true.
Yeah,
that's right.
I said one of the things I don't like being in front of people. The Lord's helped me, and I can't explain how this is. I just know it is. I see you, but I don't see you.
Yeah.
I don't just sit there and look at you, because if I did, I'd just get nervous. I think I've told this, and I've heard Tim Rutherford tell it two or three times, several times actually, and I believe he said this took place down in Tennessee. He was preaching one night in a little Baptist church down in Tennessee, and said, "I don't really usually just lock in on people," but said about midway back in the pew, said there was a lady sitting in the aisle, and said every time I'd look back at her, she'd get her tongue out at me.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
And he said, man, said, I tried to look around and tried not to pay no attention to her. And said, I looked back there and she stuck her tongue out at me. He said, man, that just turned, said, it just turned me up. He said, I looked back, said, I try everything to do. Now, quit looking back there. That woman said, I look back there. Every time I look at her, she'd stick her tongue out at me.
Yeah.
He said, I finally got tired of it and said, I looked back there and she stuck her tongue out at me and I went back there like this. I went, he said, that stopped that.
Yeah. Hey, man. That's right.
Now, y'all have no Brother Tim to know how that worked.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah,
but these people used to have some fire.
Yeah.
What's happened to it? Thank God that sent it. Elijah still got it.
Amen, Brother Mark.
You know what? We don't get it because we don't want it.
Right. Right.
Well, it's going to make you act. It's going to make you act silly. Let me tell you something about our sophistication.
Right.
It is killing our religion.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, people are sophisticated. I can't shout.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. How do you know?
Amen.
You ever let God see?
Yeah.
Well, what's people going to think? Who cares?
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
That's what's wrong. We care too much about what people think and not what God wants us to do.
We've lost
the fire in our churches. We've lost the fire in our pulpit.
Right.
The preachers are just they're just like a bunch of mechanical dummies.
Yeah. You're right.
Something wrong, man.
Good preaching.
Yeah, good preaching.
We used to have fire in our churches.
Sure did.
I mean, and you know one of the things I like about this scripture here in 2 Chronicles? When that fire fell from heaven,
yeah,
it talked about, and the next thing you get into is part of that fire. When you get your praying right, then the fire is going to come down.
Yeah.
And something else is going to happen when you get those two things going. The glory of the Lord is going to fill the house.
Now the glory of the Lord represents the presence of God.
That's right.
Amen.
Now in a church service there's a lot of things that go on.
Right.
There's singing.
Yeah.
There's testifying.
Yeah.
There's offerings.
Mm-hmm.
There's preaching. There's praying. There's all those things, and yes, we need all those things in our church services. We need those things. But there's nothing more important in a church service than the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Period.
Right.
If you ain't got the presence of the Lord, you just ain't got nothing.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know people are just so programmed. They're just so dead and dried up. Brother Eddie probably knows who I'm talking about. I know my wife knows who I'm talking about. A preacher comes and preaches at Bethel up there. His name is Cody Zorn.
Yeah.
He's over in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And he said, man, you're going to love these Baptist churches and they give them testimonies and there's a lot of heavy on the moanies. You get a dead church, man, it's going to let everything die with it.
You're right.
A few weeks ago, we went to church with some friends we went to church with back in the mid-80s, Jerry and Dina Wood. Known them for a long time. Still good friends. We went to church at Riverview Baptist Church. Ricky Jones was our pastor. There's two.
Yeah.
And their daughter, Brandy Harwood, she actually owns Harwood Strode Funeral Home, Scottsville. But Jerry and Dina's been friends ever since mid-80s. Long time. They both got saved at Riverview.
Amen.
And they were living together when they got saved.
Yeah.
And when they got saved, they didn't move out of the house, but one of them slept upstairs, another one slept downstairs and got married.
Yeah.
And God just blessed them.
Praise God.
And so they want us to go to church with them. So, you know, we hadn't seen them in a while, and they asked us to go to church, so we went to church with them. We hadn't seen them in a good little while, so we went to church at Coral Hill.
Amen.
Brother Ray Woody. Now, I like Brother Woody. I've been around him few times I preached a funeral with him. I've been in a time where he preached a funeral. But I'm going to tell you what, Lord have mercy. Wasn't for me. They sung stuff I never heard of. They done things I never heard of.
Yeah.
When he was reading scripture, I thought, he wasn't reading what I got.
Amen.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what, when you get into a situation like that, it makes you appreciate a God-filled church.
Amen.
Now, he preached a good message. I ain't saying he didn't. He brought up some good points about the building of the tabernacle, how God done those things and everything that he ordered. But let me tell you, I'm going to say it again. There's nothing more important in a church service than the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, in the Old Testament, there was a woman that gave birth to a child, and her husband and her father-in-law died.
Yeah.
And she named that child Ichabod.
Yeah. Lord of God.
And it meant the glory is departed because of the ark of God was taken.
Yeah.
Whenever the things of God suffer, the glory of God's going to suffer with it.
Amen. Yeah. That's right, brother.
And I'm going to tell you, for my own self, I can't speak for you, but for my own self, I don't want the glory of God to depart from me.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Man, can you imagine what kind of miserable life you would live without the glory of the Lord?
Amen.
Now, something took place when that fire fell and the glory of the Lord filled the house.
Yeah.
The people saw it.
Yes. Sure it is.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Let me tell you what, when God moves, people's going to see it.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like the wind. I can't see the wind, but I can see the effects of what it does.
Right.
Amen.
See, when God is in the church house and the glory of the Lord is moving around, people are going to see it.
Right. Amen.
Right.
You know how people might see it? They might see it in tears.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
They might see it in some joy. Oh, Lord. They might see it in people raising their hands and praising God. Most of the time, you want to get a Baptist to raise their hand, you're going to have to rob them at gunpoint.
That's good, brother. Good, I heard that. Yeah, that's good, brother.
Ain't it awful? You can't hardly get Baptist to raise their hand. I guess you think that, but I don't know what it thinks. Something else you can't hardly get a Baptist to do is use the word hallelujah.
Yeah, that's true.
Scares them to death.
Oh my.
It's a good Bible word.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it.
Amen.
Well, you can't say that. Well, I'm sorry. I just did.
That's full of praise.
When God moves on you, people's going to see it.
Right. Amen.
Right.
And I like to see it.
Right.
And sometimes I need to see it.
Right.
Because sometimes I just feel like, boy, I just feel like I'm going through a desert all by myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seems like I've been a long way in between wells. And I need to draw some water from somebody else's well.
Amen.
I need to see God do something in somebody else's life so to encourage me.
Amen.
You see it.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Most churches, you couldn't see nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Because God ain't around.
Amen.
Right.
Ain't that a shame?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
To think that woman named that child Ichabod.
Yeah.
Now, I think about there was a movie, I guess it was. Ichabod Crane was the man's name.
Yeah.
And basically what it was about a headless horseman.
Yeah.
But the man's name was Ichabod Crane. I thought, you know, if I had kids, I don't think I'd want to name him Ichabod.
Amen.
I mean, couldn't you imagine? Ichabod, get your hand out of that cookie jar.
Amen.
That was not a good name to attack for somebody. Because, not the name, but what it represented, the glory of the Lord had departed. Because the ark of God was taken.
Yeah.
I'll say it again. When the things of God suffer, the glory of God's going to suffer.
Right. Amen.
You know what's happened in churches? And I'm sad to say it's happened in homes and individuals. We have gotten comfortable around conviction.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
You know, conviction, old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction, make you sick.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
That's right.
It does.
Amen.
And when that fire fell, it said the glory of the Lord filled the house.
Sure enough. Amen.
You know, I've heard them tell, you know, years ago, they used to have revivals that would go on for weeks.
Yeah.
And in summertime, the churches would be so full they couldn't get in. They would open the windows and the doors so people could gather around on the outside and hear things going on. I like to hear stuff about that, but I want to see it.
Amen. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with me seeing it.
No.
Brother Cletus Bowman, bless his heart, passed away last year.
Yeah.
Man, he was one time.
Yes,
he was. He preached a revival. This is before I even knew him. Up in Galatia, Illinois, which was about 5 miles from where we lived at in Raleigh. And he was preaching a revival at a Presbyterian church in Galatia. And it supposedly went on a week. And he said, man, the Lord moved in on that thing. Said people started getting saved. Said, man, I mean God moved. And he said that thing went on for 3 weeks. Said people was coming every night just to see who's going to get affected that night.
Amen.
He said, I ain't never been in such a service in my life.
Praise God.
I like to hear stuff like that, but I want to see it.
Yeah.
Amen, Brother Mark.
And when you quench the fire of God... You likely not.
That's right. True.
What Vance Haddon used to say, we start at 11 o'clock.
Sharp.
We start at 11 o'clock sharp. We're at 12 o'clock dull.
Yeah.
What we do.
Yeah.
God can't be programmed.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
You can't put God on a time schedule.
No. Amen.
God don't work on our time schedule.
No. Amen.
When we was going to Heritage Way down in Woodburn one Sunday, Old Zion Heritage Way, Ricky Jones. One Sunday morning, God moved in. Boy, Sunday school, I mean, he moved in. Boy, I mean, people shouting, praising the Lord, testifying, everything else. It was real.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Church service time comes. Brother Ricky said, y'all missed it.
Right.
Said, the Lord's done been here and gone.
Amen.
Said, we're going to take up the offering and go home. And that's exactly what we've done.
Oh, amen.
They did. They missed it. Why, God don't move in Sunday school.
Oh, yes, he does.
The reason why he don't, because people think he won't.
Amen.
Right.
You'll never know when God's going to show up.
True.
But I like it when he does.
Yeah.
That's right.
More than I do when he don't.
He was there
when he wanted. I don't like going into service and don't feel like he's been in church.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
amen.
It's a miserable feeling to go to church and not feel like you've been in church.
Right.
Amen.
When I go to church, I want to feel like I've been in church.
Exactly. Right.
Amen.
And I want to feel like I've been around the presence of God.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
And those people had it.
Amen, Brother Mark.
They had praying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had the fire.
Yeah.
They had the glory of the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
And look what it said back in chapter 7. And the children of Israel saw how the fire came down.
Yeah.
And the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon
Amen.
The pavement and worshipped.
Yes.
Amen.
And praised the Lord, saying, for His good, for His mercy endureth forever. When you get those other things in the order, you're going to get people worshiping.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
You know, you see all over this country, church signs all over the place.
Yeah.
And they'll say like... worship 11 o'clock, or worship at 10 o'clock, or worship at 6 o'clock, or worship at whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of times I wonder if that's really what they do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen,
brother. There's a church over in Westmoreland. I pass it all the time when I'm going down to VA. And it talks about, it's a apostolic church or something like that. And I can't remember just exactly how it says it, but it says it's a spirit-filled church.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I found out most time when you have to advertise it? It probably ain't.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, if it is, it'll get out.
Oh, yeah.
And you won't have to put it on a church sign. People will be hearing about it.
Yeah, yes, they do.
I mean, you might as well get over it. People see you driving in here on Sunday morning.
Yeah, man.
They know if you go to church here.
Amen.
Or not.
That's right.
I mean, when you come in here, you don't never know. 1 week to the next, what load somebody's been carrying all week.
That's right. Right.
Remember.
And you don't know who's going to be laid at the gate from Sunday to Sunday.
True.
Right.
Amen.
True.
And you don't know who's going to need to see or hear what you might do.
That's right. Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
True, brother.
You get all that together.
Yeah.
And people will worship.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
And you know what worship does? It causes praising.
Yeah.
When they bowed themselves, the Bible said they bowed themselves to the pavement. You know what? You'll never get a good attitude of worship as long as you're proud.
You're right.
That's right.
You're going to have to get humble.
Hey,
to
worship. Man.
Yes, to the ground.
I like to worship.
Yeah, me too, brother.
And you know, I'm not confined to building to worship. Right. You can worship God anywhere as long as God's there to do it. Man, I've been driving down the road before, have a gospel song on. I mean, tears go to rolling. You have to pull over because you can't see the drive.
Amen.
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 Ernst Ward Parsons tell one time when he wrote that song, Beautiful Land.
Yes.
He had been somewhere in the singing, and he was coming back home driving, and said the Lord started laying that song on his heart.
Yeah.
I'm kind of homesick for country.
Yeah.
To which I've never been before. Said I started tearing up. I couldn't drive. Had to pull over.
Yeah, man.
And said I got on and went a little farther. And said God started dealing with me. That said I cried and pulled over all the way home.
So
and he said, I knew, bless God, I've got a good one.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know what, buddy? It's been one of the most recorded songs ever been recorded.
Amen. Yes.
Beautiful land.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm longing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Man, it's real when God gets in the car with you.
You're right. Amen.
Because you ain't got nowhere to go. Imagine you going down the interstate running 70.
Yeah.
Amen.
I like it.
Yeah, me too, brother. Amen.
If that ain't ever happened to you, I'm going to pray it will.
That's right.
Then you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Whew, I'm having a good time.
Hey.
Good.
Hey.
Praise the Lord.
I would shout, but I don't want to embarrass my wife.
Go ahead, brother.
Bless him, Lord.
Bless him, God.
Bless you, brother.
I like it when God moves.
Yeah.
Amen.
I like it when God blesses people, but I really like it when God blesses me.
Yes.
You ever preach yourself happy?
Oh, yeah.
You can.
Oh, yeah.
And you can preach other people miserable and preach yourself happy.
Oh, Lord. Bless you, God.
Brother Clint, what you say, every church I went into, every church I go into, said I'd always holler at least one time, let the devil know whose side I'm
on.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's
right.
Oh, my.
I never forget him telling this, I laughed at that till I cried, I laughed at that till I cried. He was over in Madisonville. He was going to go preach in some kind of, it wasn't a revival, it was some kind of special service. This is a black church.
Yeah.
And he said, I got over at that church, and I said, I was about the only white person in that church.
Yeah.
Said, I was going to preach. And said, I didn't know what's best. Said, I ain't never been there, so I didn't know what them people going to do, nothing. Said, and they said, preacher, come on up here and sit with us in behind the pulpit. He said, I look like an Oreo cookie. I liked it that till I cried. I liked it that till I cried until I went to Brother Feast Pastor. I guess I reap what I sow. Because he said, come on up here, preacher, and sit with us. I felt like an Oreo cookie.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what, boy, them people love God, boy. How many more you get in with them, they worship.
Yes, Lord.
You don't got to be in a white church to serve God.
That's right, Brother Mike.
You don't got to be in some prejudiced church to worship God. God don't care what color your skin is.
You're right.
He won't see what color. He looks in your heart.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank
God. I'm going to tell you, some may shout louder than others, but amen, it still takes a mouth to do it.
That's right.
Amen, preacher. Good preacher.
I had prayer.
Yeah.
We need prayer.
Yeah.
They had fire.
Sure did.
Boy, we sure need fire.
Hey, man. Yeah.
You know what fire does? It'll warm you up.
Sure will.
Right. Exactly.
My daddy, we burned wood most time when we was kids growing up. My daddy, boy, I mean, son, he throw the fire up. Burned. I mean, son, the house.
Yeah.
Hot wasn't. Oh man, I've seen the elbows on them things glow red. He stole that fire top. He'd run in a room but didn't have no stove to cool off. But you'd run back in and get warmed up.
Oh yeah.
You know what happened in the mornings when that fire kind of dwindled down? You get in under them covers and you jump out of bed on the cold floors, you jump back in.
That's right.
Till you get fire going.
Yeah.
See, fire will warm you up.
Sure will.
Fire will give you light.
Yeah.
And fire can affect everybody.
Sure can. Sure can.
There ain't nothing on the planet better than wood heat.
Amen to that.
Thank you. Yes.
It's hard work.
Yeah. For the...
My daddy said it'll warm you up twice. Well, it'll warm you up three times. Cutting it, splitting it.
Hauling off ice.
And burning it.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
We need some fire back in the
church. Yeah, we do.
Amen.
And we ain't got no glory, probably because them two things ain't.
Yeah. Amen, Brother Mark.
We'll get the glory of the Lord around. Yeah. Things will happen.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
And when we get those things in the order, the way they're supposed to be, in the order the way they're supposed to be, people will worship.
Yeah.
Now, let's go one place. I'm going to be done. Let's go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 4.
Amen.
Now this incident took place with a woman at the well that Jesus met.
Yeah.
You know, it starts out there, he said he must needs go through Samaria.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He knew why he needed to go to Samaria, because he knew he's going to meet that woman.
Oh yeah.
That's right.
And anyway, several things went through. And start reading there, verse 21 of John chapter 4. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall hear neither in this mountain nor yet Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. You know, a lot of people don't even know what they worship.
You're right.
Yeah,
worship
devils. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Well, it was, because he was a Jew.
Amen. Yeah.
But the hour cometh, and now it is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And really, truthfully, you can't have genuine worship without those two things.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right, Brother Mark.
Because when you worship in the Spirit, it makes it effective.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
And when you worship in truth, it makes it accepted.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
See, we ought to be concerned, is God pleased with our worship?
Uh-huh.
Good. It's good preacher.
If He ain't, don't blame nobody but us.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good.
I believe what they had in that Old Testament tabernacle fit good in the New Testament church.
Yes. Amen.
If we just get it back,
we
practice it, believe in it,
Amen.
Live with it.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Pray, get the fire, see the glory,
worship
the Lord, and praise Him.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, praise. I don't know any other way to say it than the way the book of Hebrews talks about it, that we offer the sacrifice of praise.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to praise, you're going to have sacrifice.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what? God asked very little of us, really.
Sure does.
That's true.
Very little.
But He gave everything for us.
Sure did.
Yeah.
I believe Charles Spurgeon said that one word of praise is very little for an ocean of mercy.
Amen.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
Oh.
Mm. Amen, Brother Mark. Mm-hmm.
Those people had something real.
They sure did.
We got it.
Yeah.
All we got to do, let's unplug and let's get recycled.
Amen.
Father, I love you. Lord, I've done what I felt you laid on my heart.
Thank you.
I pray, Father, it's been a help to people tonight. Yes. I pray, Lord, you to give them something that they can take home with them this week.
Yes.
And Lord, think about it and put to practice in their life. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege to preach. Thank you for the power to preach. Thank you for loving us, Father, tonight. And Lord, I want to thank you, God, that what they had, God, it's available to me. And it's available to all of us. And I just ask, God, that we can keep it in our minds and our thoughts,
yes,
our hearts.
Yes.
Our country needs it.
Yes.
Lord, our churches need it. Our homes need it. Father, just help us tonight to worship you in spirit and truth. And I give you the praise and honor and glory for everything said and done. These things I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Eddie.
Yeah.
Beulah land, I'm longing for you.
Yes.
And someday on thee I'll stand.
Amen.
There my home shall be eternal.
Ooh.
Beulah land.
Yes.
Sweet Beulah.
Songs about my home, amen. I don't know about y'all, but this ain't my home. Hey, I appreciate that message tonight.
I do too.
I certainly don't want to say anything that I wouldn't do nothing but make it even better. Brother Mark, he hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah.
He said something one day he'd like to do a lesson on the King James Bible.
Yeah.
Boy, that, when he said that, I'll tell you right now, there's something in here that just kind of leaped and jumped, kind of like John the Baptist did in his mother Elizabeth's womb. You're not going to get too far without that.
No, you're not.
It's mandatory. We're not talking about vaccines. The Bible says don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. It's life. To all those that find it, find them, and health to their flesh. Jesus said to continue in that word, we know the truth. Truth will make us free. He mentioned about truth. John 17:17. Thy word, O God, is truth. You're not going to get too far. You're not going to impress God without the truth. Now God gave the word, greatest company, those that published it. We've got it. We ain't got no excuse. Like He said, turn some stuff off. Take a little time. Spend a little time in there. I tell you what, you spend some time there, your face starts shining like Moses did.
Yeah.
You won't fit in down here like you did before. You spend a little time in there, it'll make a little difference in here. You don't have to have no gun to get you hold your hands up. You'll come and say, woo! Spend some time in the Word this week. Heard something worth hearing this week. Heard out the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, that was a good message tonight.
Yes.
God bless you,
yeah.
Brother Mark.
Yeah.
Mm. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time in this. Both of them are mandatory. And don't forsake the house of God. Ain't nothing worse than being like Thomas. Something good happened. He wasn't there.
Yeah.
Jesus showed up and he wasn't there. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let me ask everybody to stand. Maybe somebody got a word in their heart. That was exceptional.
I'd like to say I was the Lord's name. I thank Him for saving me one day. I thank Him for loving me when I wasn't even lovable.
Bless you, Brother Ed.
And you know, I was thinking while Brother Mark was preaching, he's preaching on praying there.
Yeah.
And you know, I need to change my way of praying. I got a list, okay? If I forget my list when I lay down in my bed, I forget a lot of people's names. I need to change my style of praying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm faithful to do that list, okay? I've got everybody in this church.
Amen.
And I'm faithful to do it, but if I forget that, I'll forget a lot of people. And so I just need to change myself. What he preached on there about praying,
yeah,
it struck home with me. So
Bible says God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And, you know, prayer is kind of like what Brother Ed said. We're just seeking God, asking for blessing, asking for help.
That's it.
Asking, you know, for, you know, Him to intervene in a matter, sickness or, you know, or comfort, someone lost a loved one or something. Prayer is a precious privilege. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not faint. Luke 18:1. Paul said pray without ceasing there in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it's chapter 5, I think. But we need to pray. We need to pray.
Yeah.
Our country's in trouble today, just like Brother Mark preached. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, you're not going to fool God. You might fool old Brother Eddie. But God looks down here and He knows where you've been praying, knows where you've been reading, knows where you've been spending time in the things of God. Or you know, that worldly appetite, it's kind of like the opposite of a spiritual appetite.
Yeah.
Somebody said, you are what you eat. Amen.
Oh,
I enjoyed the message. Don't shut up. Anybody got a word?
Brother Eddie?
Yeah.
Just want everybody to remember me as I go to the stomach doctor on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Make sure, you know, I'm sure I'm going to have surgery, but you know what? I'm gonna say to him, hey, I'm not scared of surgery. Let's do it.
That's right.
Bless you, Brother Eric. Amen. Right. I've never had no surgery, but I'm like Brother Eric. If I had to, that's what I'd say. I said, hey, hit me the best shot, buddy. But Eric told me it was a word about that long. I said, that just so it costs you more. And, they get up them big $5 word just so they can charge you more, I think. But remember Brother Eric, he says Wednesday.
Yeah.
Remember him Wednesday?
Yeah.
Like Brother Mark said, somebody praying make a difference. Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. That's all I try to remember Brother Eric Wednesday concerning that. Anybody else?
Brother, what you got back there? I want to thank the Lord for being here. And I know, with no doubt in my mind, that there's people in this church that pray.
Amen. Yeah.
That pray. I mean, because I've been down and out.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
They have prayed for me, and I feel it.
Amen.
So I just want to thank the Lord for this church.
Mm-hmm.
They pray.
Amen,
they pray.
Sister Carolyn.
So,
Amen.
I just love the Lord, and I love this church.
Amen. Back there in the back, I seen a hand come up.
I just want to tell you about prayer, about the Word of God. So a preacher come to our church up in northern Indiana, you know, as a guest preacher. And he was talking about he had gone on this mission trip, and I don't remember the country they were in, but they didn't have any Bibles, you know. And he said, this always stuck with me, this is years ago I heard this, that those people, they had a few Bibles that the missionaries had brought with them, and they was trying to pass them out. And they were so desperate for the Word of God that they was tearing pages out. So even if they just had, even if they just had just a part, just a fraction of the Word of God to hold on to.
Yeah.
And I pray that God makes me hungry for
His Word. Amen. I like it.
Yeah.
The Bible said in the book of 1 Samuel, the Word of God was precious in those days.
Yeah.
It's still precious.
Yes, it is.
Just like she said, we just don't realize how precious it is. And that's a good example of how precious it is to people that want it. We've got, I don't know about y'all, I've probably got 10 Bibles.
Yeah,
I've probably got 10 Bibles. And you sit there and think, you know, well, you know, I've got one that I preach out of. I've got one that I study out of. I've got one that I just use for reference, you know. Some of them I know where everything is and I find it fast in that one. But here we are, just so Bible saturated and yet so Bible ignorant. Like Brother Mark, every time I read my Bible, I receive instruction. God allows me to see something that I didn't see before. Allow me to know something that I didn't know before. And I don't think we're ever going to exhaust the Bible. I don't believe we ever will. And I think there's a great need in America of more Bible. One thing that's going on in America is this generation that we all grew up in is leaving out. I heard Mark mention about many preachers done graduated this life. Yes, who's going to take their place? Right. Stop and think about it. I'm like Brother Mark. Oh, God called me to preach. I said, I remember the first thing I said, are you sure? I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, what do you see that I don't see? I remember saying, God, are you sure? And the Bible does say make your call and election sure. And God's got to make the preacher. Preacher can't do nothing apart from God. I'll just tell you right now, I love preachers. I especially love Brother Mark. What a blessing it is to have him here. I hope y'all don't take me the wrong way here, but I'm so thankful to have Brother Mark here.
Yeah.
Blessing. You just can't find the kind of preacher like Brother Mark is just anywhere. And I asked him if he didn't care to teach Sunday school. He said, I'll do it. And I asked him if he wanted to preach last Sunday night. And I asked him if he wanted me to preach this Sunday. He said, I'll do it. I'm okay if he wants to preach every Sunday night. Sunday morning sometime. I'll just tell you right now, I'm just like y'all. I need the Word of God. I like soaking up just as much as I like pouring it out.
Yeah.
And he's right about preachers need to learn how to love God's people.
Yeah.
Jesus asked Peter, he said, Simon Bar-Jonah, lovest thou me? Yeah, I love you, Lord. He said, feed my lambs. Here's it.
Yeah.
What?
Feed my sheep.
He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep.
Right.
Peter thought, well, that's all well. Lord. About that time, that third one come out.
Yeah.
Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Mm-hmm. Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Thou knowest all things. He said, feed my sheep. Mm-hmm. He said, when you was young, you girded yourself. Yeah. You went wheresoever thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old. I don't know if y'all have noticed or not. We're all getting old.
Yeah, we are.
Thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou not. I'm not able to get myself to heaven.
No,
but one of these days I'm going to reach up.
Amen.
I'm gone. I mean, I'd like to leave in the rapture, but if not,
that's okay.
I'm just telling you, Brother Ed talked about seeing something. He wanted to make sure somebody else saw it.
Yeah.
And they did. One of these days, I'm going to see something. What's it going to be? It's going to be a hand reaching down. I'm going to get it, amen. I'm getting out of this right now. I'm going to occupy till it comes, but I'm getting out, amen. I may get out with a shout. Y'all hear, I mean, just a loud earthquake or like thunder, that'd be Brother Eddie getting out of here. I'm going to leave with a shout, amen. Anybody else got a word in your heart? All right. Been good to be here. Really good.
Brother Eddie,
yeah.
Carolyn and I are prime examples of answered prayer.
Amen.
I knew her when she had braces on her feet.
Yeah.
And I wasn't supposed to be to live past 9. The 30th day of August, I'll be 66.
Woo! Amen.
I don't know if my husband thinks that good or bad. Y'all need to ask him.
Amen.
You're older than dirt.
Amen. I'll tell you. It's by the grace of God we are what we are.
Yeah.
And we're even right here today. And like Brother Mark said, law didn't take the place of grace, but we need the law every now and then just remember what sin
that's
is.
Right.
Paul said, I'd not known sin but by the law.
Yes.
And the law, it said, thou shalt not covet. Paul every day had a problem with coveting, wanting things that wasn't his, amen. But anyway, thank God for law, but even more so, thank God for grace, amen.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm in the age of grace. I don't want to forget about the law. The law is like a compass. It points you in the right direction. It won't point you no way but in the right direction. All right, I'm going to shut up. Brother Jerry, you carry this message word of prayer, brother.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this good day.
Yes.
Thank you for all the blessings of life.
We thank you, Lord.
The word that we heard tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for our church. Ask your blessing upon it. Let it help it to grow.
Help us, Lord.
We ask that you go with us now as we leave here. Watch over us, lead, guide, and direct us for it. Through Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to change this over right now. Okay. I know. I like to be here.